News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. We are turning up your voice this hour if you want to give us a call, for sure. We'll be talking to Rob Holbert with Lanyap Mobile after 8:30, but if you want to call in between now and then, that's fine. Also, that is our text line, which I haven't done a very good job to checking out here this morning.
Oh, but, I've been all over it this morning.
All right. So anyway, good to have you along. Thursday, big weekend straight ahead, including tonight with the parade downtown with the polka dots.
Why don't we line up the weekend for everybody while we're here?
Yeah.
Because you're right, parades start back in Mobile tonight, and the weather just looks fantastic. I mean, seriously. 6:30, the polka dots roll. Year 75 for the polka dots, so a big dang deal tonight, 6:30, Route A. Tomorrow night, 6:30, the Order of Inca rolls on Route A. And Daphne gets involved tomorrow night also. The Apollo's Mystic Ladies roll beginning at 6:45. And again, the weather looks great for tomorrow night. Then on Saturday, so you've got tailgating in the morning at Hancock Whitney Stadium.
We'll be there.
You've got kickoff at noon for the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Mobile parades will start at 1 downtown on Route A. You got the Mystics, Mystical Revelers, and Mystical Friends all rolling then. Senior Bowl, I'm sure it'll let out around 3, 3:15, 3:30. And then everyone will make their way back to downtown Mobile for the Maids of Mirth, Order of Butterfly Maidens, and Crew of Merry Mates. That begins at 6:30. They'll be rolling at the same time in Fairhope tomorrow night, the Knights of Ecor Rouge. That's at 6:30. And then in Mobile, after that 6:30 parade, you have the Counting Crows concert. And they say that at 7:30, the opening act will perform. I need to look up who the opening act is because I'm spacing on it right now. And then the Counting Crows show is set to begin at 8:30. So that's when the rain may roll in. You might get some showers maybe during those evening parades. Possibly during the concert, but then
maybe.
But then, yeah. After all that, you can expect the rain to roll in overnight Saturday into Sunday morning.
That's a definite, right? So that rain we know is going to happen overnight, and so and again, as far as the parades and Counting Crows, it's when will this system get here? And it may not arrive with much of a burst until after the Counting Crows. For all we know, anyway, that's the. Positive spin on it anyway.
And then you get a good clean with a week to go before Joe Kane Day. Sunday night, parades at 6:30 downtown, and then parades every day of the week except for next Wednesday, which is the first weather makeup day.
Yeah, that's right. That's the rain makeup day in case anything gets lost because of the weather.
So we are truly rolling in Mardi Gras now, and it won't be long till we hit Fat Tuesday and then Ash Wednesday. And you can hear all of the Moon Pie Minutes. We've put up to this point from Stephen McNair, who's done a great job taking over for our late great friend Rennie Brabner. Now, if you've missed any of those or if you want to go back and listen to them, we've got them chronologically listed on our website. Just click Moon Pie Minutes at the top and you can travel all the way down and listen to every day's Moon Pie Minute, and we'll do that all the way through Ash Wednesday.
I know you wanted to talk about Barry Moore and the piece that's that on him. Alabama political reporter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, of course, he and Jerry Carl in District 1 now. Barry Moore currently is the representative of District 2. But, of course, with the redistricting, I think at this point, everybody at least is casually aware of all of that. And it's interesting, too, before we get to Barry Moore, the number one fundraiser for District 2 at this point is...
For District 2?
Mm-hmm. Number one fundraiser, Democrat or Republican, for District 2.
I want to say Brubaker, but I don't know.
Anthony Daniels.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy who grew up in District, what is now District 2, I think in the area of Troy, maybe, or in that area. I haven't read the whole story yet, but at the same Alabama political reporter, big picture of Daniels, and says that to Daniels, this is a story by Josh Moon, posts sizable fundraising lead in CD2 race. So we'll see how that plays out. I've seen some Brubaker TV ads, right?
Have you?
I have. TV ads and also a yard sign here or there mysteriously popping up in Mobile.
Yeah, yeah, the yard sign thing, I don't know if surprised me is the right word. I hadn't seen those either.
Yeah.
But see those popping up around Mobile.
Yeah, well, on my walks, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. I get to do the, let's see who's in the lead.
I'll ask the question, have you been putting those signs out?
I like Brubaker okay, but no, I'm not walking with signs and then placing them here and there.
Yeah.
The best sign I saw was 2 weeks ago at an apartment complex where it said freeze warning coming or something like that. It's like, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up, yard sign.
Thanks for letting us know about the freeze coming. That was interesting too, the poll that Jeff rolled out for us yesterday regarding AL2, because not a whole lot has changed since that first poll came out a few months ago. And basically, a majority still undecided. Brubaker polling in the top 20s. Now, this is for the Republican primary of District 2. Brubaker polling in the top 20s. He said Sessions was mid-teens. Is that right? Not Sessions. I'm sorry. How am I spacing right now?
We got
Brubaker. I know Dobson, he said,
At 8%.
8%, which I kind of expected. Maybe
Adderholt.
Second,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's in the mid-teens. So Brubaker has the lead right now, but a lot of undecideds. Now, with AL1, I thought it was really interesting. Somebody texted Jeff's show yesterday, and I apologize for forgetting who it was. I want to say maybe it was Fire Dog. Initially when they redrew the maps, the thought was, okay, well, why doesn't Barrymore run again in District 2 and just take the chance? Because at least going in, I was thinking Jerry Carl's got a pretty good lock on District 1, that he's going to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't Barrymore give it a shot in District 2, even though it would be more difficult as more Democrat votes have been mapped into that district? It turns out it may have needed to be the other way. As you look, it seems like Barrymore has at least a minimal lead at this point. How that changes over the next month, I guess we'll see. But it looks to me like Jerry Carl, like this texter said yesterday, would have been better in the AL2 race, or at least give the Republicans a better chance in the AL2 race. He may not have a better odds, but it would give Republicans better odds in that AL2 race because of his name recognition,
mm-hmm.
and because at least the way he's coming off, which isn't necessarily true, he seems like he's more moderate than Barrymore. And that might be what wins Barrymore AL1, is if the very red-leaning district sees him as the more conservative candidate. I think they're just going to vote for who they think is the more conservative candidate. So would Jerry Carl be better off in AL2? He'd say no.
Yeah.
But I thought it was an interesting point that somebody raised yesterday.
Yeah, that is a good point. It's never occurred to me. So also think about this. If Jerry Carl from the get-go said, okay, I see how all the cookies crumbled here, I can run in District 2. I've already got the fact that I've got a term in the House,
mm-hmm.
So I'll be recognized as somebody who's already done the job, right?
And he's well-known in Mobile, which is a huge part of that District 2,
Well-known in Mobile, and also maybe there wouldn't be a Brubaker, or there wouldn't be
Albritton, Caroline Dobson.
Dobson, or an Albritton. They might have just left him alone and said, okay, Jerry, it's yours. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, what would that side of the race have looked like if it had been either Jerry Carl or Barrymore?
It might have just been kind of ceded to them, mm-hmm. from the Republicans. Like, hey, have at it. We'll back you up.
Yeah.
But now that it became a free-for-all, no incumbent, we see these Republicans, some with long resumes and some with no resume, have piled in trying to get to that. But that would be that's something we could talk to Jeff about.
Mm-hmm.
If he had done that, would those now current Republicans who are involved in that race, in the race, would they have gotten in the race at all?
That's a great question. But, we have what we ended up with, and that's Carl versus Moore. And like I said, I think it feels to me like Moore has a slight lead right now. They may be neck and neck, for all I know.
I think the last poll was 4%.
But remember,
but it was trending toward Carl, but he was still behind.
When Carl ran last time, Club for Growth came out against Carl very strongly, very, very strongly. And I was thinking, man, how is he going to overcome this? If they're pushing, he's the only one who's catching this kind of heat in this race. And it almost worked in Carl's favor that Club for Growth was coming after him then. Like, people were voting for him because of the Club for Growth attacks.
Yeah, right.
Now, at the same time, Barry Moore was getting Club for Growth support.
In his race.
In AL2. He accepted it. He took that support and won. He actually upset who he beat in that race.
Right.
Well, I think Barry Moore saw how things went for Jerry in 2020 and 22, and then he looked at what Club for Growth has done the last few years regarding Trump, because they were Team Trump, then anti-Trump, then now it looks like they're almost Team Trump again.
Okay.
Club for Growth has been very wishy-washy on whether they support Trump or not. I think Barry Moore took all that into consideration and said, listen, I might be better off without Club for Growth going to bat for me during this race.
Well, I think that was a statement he made, too, that I'm not going to accept money from Club for Growth.
Right. He said it early on in the race, which was kind of shocking to me that he wouldn't outright accept that help. Well, Alabama political reporter now coming out with, I guess you could call it a February surprise, but my question is whether this will land with voters. So let us know on the text line. They're saying that Barry Moore is actually still involved with at least one very public member of Club for Growth. They said, in a political twist brought about by Alabama's recent redistricting, the state's first congressional district has become the stage for an extraordinary showdown. Of course, yes, we know all about that. Moore previously enjoyed the support of the influential Club for Growth in his bids for the second district. We just told you that, of course, and they notably opposed Carl in 2020. In a surprising turn of events, Moore has publicly distanced himself from Club for Growth. But they say political campaigns often, however, APR may have unearthed connections linking Moore to a Club for Growth affiliate actively supporting his campaign against Carl. Political campaigns often witness complex financial maneuvers aimed at obscuring the real backers of a candidacy.
Yeah, I could see that. And
makes sense with the PACs, right?
Yes.
According to a filing in November, Thomas Datweiler, a key figure associated with Club for Growth, also a consultant for Axiom Strategies, was named as the treasurer of the pro-Moore Super PAC Defend Alabama. They said that connection is noteworthy, given Datweiler's history as treasurer for the Club for Growth-aligned PAC that opposed J.D. Vance in Ohio back in the midterms. They also talk about the controversial relationship, complicated relationship between Club for Growth and Donald Trump. They said the intersection of Datweiler, who again is leading the charge for that Barry Moore PAC, Club for Growth, Axiom Strategies, and Barry Moore forms a complex web, particularly as Trump contemplates an endorsement of either Carl or Moore. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like it hits like people would think it would.
Like a sledgehammer. Like, it's not going to be as effective as Carl would like.
Right. I don't think people are going to hear that he may still, by proxy, be involved with Club for Growth because of this guy who leads the PAC that's supporting Moore. But even if Moore was directly involved with Club for Growth, I'm not sure it would affect his vote in a major way. What would is if you started hearing every other ad, a Club for Growth ad, bashing Jerry Carl. That's where I think they went wrong against him last time.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that Moore has built enough momentum, I guess, even though the trend was Jerry Carl, but Moore still leading by 4%. I think his public appearances, I think his appearances on this radio station, if you are an interested voter and you're definitely going to be going to the polls on March the 5th, more than likely you listen to our station a good bit if you want to know what's going on. And I would say that he has acquitted himself very well in most of his public appearances. Now, there are Carl backers that will say, hey, we don't think that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jerry's doing just fine, too. And I think for the most part, he is. But this whole Moore momentum from the start, you know, I'm new to this game, certainly, but I didn't see that really necessarily happening, especially in parts of Mobile and Baldwin County.
Yeah. Well,
where Carl is much better known, for sure.
We're in a certain time right now, and especially with the way that district was redrawn, it is so heavily leaning Republican that I think whoever comes out, just this moment of time politically, whoever appears to be the more conservative member in District 1, I think will have a leg up on the competition. And you hear them both trying to earn that mantle right now.
And I think to your point about what effect this will have, this story of Alabama political reporter Josh Moon wrote that too.
He might have. Let me double check that.
It's
Bill Britt wrote that.
Bill Britt. Okay. Yeah.
So, some of Jeff's best friends.
Yeah, that terrible breakup. It's almost like they wanted it to be a grenade, but it maybe just is like a little firecracker or stink bomb.
We'll see.
I don't think it's enough to change a lot of minds.
Anyone listening now, if Barrymore is still associated with Club for Growth, do you have a problem with that?
Yeah. Let's go to the text line and let us know. 251-343-0106.
All right, coming back, more Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Talk about this Bible verse being covered up at Theodore.
Yep.
On the way.
Go Bobcats.
A26 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Turning up your voice here in a minute on the text line and phone line, 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by the local personal injury law firm Tobias and Comer Law. Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, Lacey. Oh, they're all great people over there at Tobias and Comer Law. And they do a great job representing folks in our area. And they've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. Their website's fantastic, TobiasComerLaw.com. And in addition to information about Tobias and Comer Law, they've got a lot of great resources on there as well. Like if you've got a new teen driver, some ways to make that process a little easier, teaching them how to be safe out there on the roads. But they also have like this article, Top 10 Mardi Gras Safety Tips. Some good things to keep in mind if you're headed down to the Boom Boom tonight or this weekend or next week, or if you've got a family who's going down there. Maybe some younger family members who are going to the parade by themselves for the first time. Hand them those safety tips and they will be ready to go. TobiasComerLaw.com, that's the website. And you'll also find the phone number there for a free consultation any time of the day, 251-432-5001, TobiasComerLaw.com.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, it's the same one we've talked about in the past.
It's the same one that shows up every time.
Yeah, so they show up of all places at Theodore High School. Talk about that, Dalton. It's scripture?
Bible verse.
Bible verse at the dugout or the wall of the dugout or something like that?
1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. With the Theodore T just over that.
Yeah.
That's what they had painted on the dugout there at Theodore High School on their baseball field. But they painted over it. The Mobile County School System got a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now, found out about this yesterday. John Sharp wrote about it at AL.com that the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they confirmed in a news release that the school system painted over what the FFRF called a divisive religious display. They said the staff attorney for FFRF, Chris Line, said, to protect students' First Amendment rights, the district must remove this religious display from its baseball field immediately, as well as other religious displays, as it becomes aware of it in its schools. According to the group, the biblical verse violates the First Amendment by, quote, proselytizing school students and creating the appearance that the district prefers religion over non-religion and Christianity over all faiths. And they said they became aware when a concerned Mobile County Public Schools community member let them know.
Yeah, this is a case where they're not at the dugout. They're not set up in Theodore waiting.
They just get this from all over the country.
Right. They get a report and then they act on that report. And this is because it is a public school. You go out to Faith Academy, there's Bible verses everywhere.
Right. And so Renee Phillips, spokeswoman for Mobile County Public Schools, I'm sure she feels she's had to talk too much over the last few months.
Probably.
But she said the system was asked to remove the verse from the dugout, and we did. Johnny Hatcher, school commissioner, he didn't seem too happy with this. But it comes at the same time, in a different state, a Navy Reserve veteran was charged for taking down a satanic statue that had been placed in the Iowa State Capitol. Two different things going on here. I know apples to oranges maybe, but we'll discuss on the other side.
Yeah, we'll do. Also, Rob Holford, Glenn Yap. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:35 on Mobile Mornings. What's shaking, man?
Looking at the text line, some commentary on the Jerry Carl v. Barry Moore race. By the way, I attributed a statement to Fire Dog earlier that I thought may have been Fire Dog texting Jeff yesterday.
Regular texter.
Yeah, a texter who said Jerry Carl should have ran District 2 instead of District 1. Fire Dog saying, I should be under concussion protocol because I'm remembering names as well as Fire Dog does at more than, he's twice my age, he says. He does have three daughters that's caused brain fog over the years. So maybe that's it. I'll blame it on the brain fog from having two daughters. So it wasn't Fire Dog, but it was a good point I thought somebody made yesterday. This texter says, Jerry Carl is an establishment Republican and has a propensity to raise taxes. He supported the gas tax. That's from unnamed texter there. Michael says, not only would Carl have been more suited for District 2, but since a huge portion of 2 is in his old district, it would have been a great shot to hold 2. Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking now also, that because we didn't get any, at least on the Republican side, any Mobile County people that have an actual shot at winning AL2, Jerry Carl may have had that chance. But again, he probably feels he still has a better shot at winning AL1 over Moore and then skating into the win in the general election in November. And then a couple more, and we'll get to Rob Hulbert here. Jason says the story, which he read it in 1819. I saw it on some other sites too. The 1819 story about Theodore High School is a sad sign of the times. Too bad MCPSS doesn't have a real leader to stand with God. Jerry in Fort Morgan says the school board is as cowardly as the city council. Hold on, let's the rest of this text coming up right now. He says the school board is as cowardly as the city council. And then your mom on Twitter on the text line says, where do we sign up to be part of the Freedom from Religious Foundation? So that's a good question. If we can get away from them, that would probably help for sure.
They've involved in something that had to do with Mobile City Council about a prayer before the council
meeting. That's right. You're exactly right. That was maybe the last time we heard from them around here.
But if you, it's kind of like, I guess, I don't, you know, with something that was physically there, you could scrub it away or not. You had a decision to make. With the prayer, I guess that's I think that sometimes they just go away. You know what I mean? That's how I remember Sean and Jeff talking about this group, that if you just kind of ignore them, they'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they felt like we see where it's painted on there, and so you got to get rid of it. You know, it's the evidence is there. Something more tangible like that, they were able to use the power to
get it,
force them to
taken
do it.
Away. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
837 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile mornings. It is a Thursday. That means it's time to check in with our good friend with Lanyap. Rob Hulbert joins us. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Are you a better friend of me or Dalton?
I think equally. I think both of you have saved my life in different battles.
I don't remember that incident, but I salute you, sir.
Wartime's hard to remember.
Yeah.
See,
the fog of war.
Rob goes after politicians, but he also knows how to politic when he gets asked a question
that's
like
right,
that.
That's right. You'll learn a few things along the way.
Cover this week, I love it. You got Philip Rivers when he was playing in the Senior Bowl as a member of NC State. It works. I know he had an event last night. Helping with ill children. He spoke at Moe's Barbecue, and of course, he's the head coach down there in Baldwin County. And we got the Senior Bowl this week. It all comes together, Rob.
Yeah, and he was an okay quarterback, too.
He sure was. Pretty decent.
Yeah, pretty decent. So, yeah, that's the Senior Bowl. Big deal this week, of course. Got a lot going on. This Saturday is going to be wild because you're going to have, of course, the game. You've got been a concert downtown. You've got a little mini Senior Bowl Mardi Gras parade before the regular Mardi Gras parade, so before the Incas roll. So there's a lot going on, man. Mm-hmm. Counting Crows will be down there in Mardi Gras Park for free starting at 8 o'clock. You know, God willing, none of the floats break down or any horses collapse. They'll be there on time. So should be good.
Yeah, let's keep the offensive tackles off of the horses.
Just make sure the uniforms aren't too puffy.
Exactly.
Costumes, it's a little heavy.
And you know, we could be talking about. I mean, we could potentially have not been talking about Senior Bowl this week. Remember how close things were just 5, 6, 7 years ago? It seemed like it was a dang near certain thing that they were going to move the Senior Bowl to Jacksonville or one of these other cities. Then you get Hancock-Whitney built, move over to South's campus, have the game there. But, Rob, this week has grown. It's huge, adding in the parade and the concert and everything.
Yeah.
I think the Senior Bowl does add a lot to the city, and we could be talking about a completely different story if things had gone another way just a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great event for Mobile, and I do think that the NFL folks like to come here because it is a little bit
off the map,
out of the way.
Yeah.
And maybe not as crazy as some of the places they're used to. And if you think about it, all the NFL folks that are there, they've been doing this for their whole lives, it's kind of a thing that they are used to doing. And so I think the event has gotten better and better for them. Having the practices at South is helpful. You don't have to drive all over the place. And so I think there's some positives from that. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it was several years ago at the Senior Bowl that people were walking up to me and saying, hey, the executive director of the Senior Bowl said this is the last year it's going to be in Mobile. And wow. Three different media people told me that, and that they had talked to him directly, and that happened. I'm like, well, that's not good.
Was that the previous
no,
Savage? It wasn't Savage. It was the current one, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, that was what people were saying. He kind of denied that, but I had a bunch of folks walking up, and it was certainly something that was being talked about a lot.
It was,
You remember, it was definitely in the news and definitely things being talked about. But, it seems to be solid at this point, and hopefully it'll be here for a long time to come. 75th year. So.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And I know I'll be out there. I'll be out there on Saturday, and a bunch of other people will as well. Let's talk about the horse situation. With the parade, horse goes down. I didn't see – now, the video I saw was just from the – horse was already on the ground. It was getting up. The marshal did appear to be a bit of a large man. I know that they came out and said that the clothes made him look larger than he actually was.
He had a Seinfeld puffy shirt on.
Same problem.
but this seems to happen at least once a year, maybe once every other year, a big Mardi Gras controversy. It seems to die down around Ash Wednesday, and then we don't hear anything else about it for another year. But that's the controversy so far. Horse goes down, and I guess some animal rights activists were upset at the appearance. Looked like the handler was trying to nudge it along, nudge it up. But they were saying kicking and hitting.
They're more than animal rights activists. I think there were a lot of people who were offended by it. There's probably some people watching the trainer kick and punch the horse to get it to stand back up. But people ride horses with spurs, and I'm not an advocate for that. But it's by the same token, I don't know if the horse's problem was somebody being heavy on its back, or if it's just that it was they do sedate them to a degree to walk around out there in case so they don't get spooked and run through the crowd and hurt people and that kind of stuff. So that's what a lot of people feel like. The horse was maybe is a little too high.
Okay, well, so horse gummies are out there, is that right?
Horse gummy, he was CBD'd up to the gills.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe the case. I don't know, but there's definitely some. I think the city is looking at some of the ways these are being handled. I mean, the horses are rented apparently, I think the city's looking at just how it's being done and kind of reviewing some of that. I know there was a lot of furor about it and interest from all around the country even.
I remember a few years ago there was a story of the malnourished horses that, do you remember that one? Downtown Mobile. And
people felt like the horses were malnourished.
Malnourished and mistreated. Yeah, so the horses roll. It's their cycle again to be the head of the Mardi Gras news cycle. Rob, when we talk about headlines right here on FM Talk 106.5, the things we're talking about, the things you're writing about, so many of them have to do with this theme of teens and guns. And it's not like it's back in the news. It never leaves the news.
No, it's endless right now. It is really it's a constant issue. And, of course, yesterday they had at LaFleur, they had a girl that was a 16-year-old who got an argument, pulled out a gun, and shot.
Unreal.
Shot somebody and kind of grazed them and hit somebody else, shot two people. And over what they're claiming maybe was bullying, but, you know, that's I don't know that still rises to the level of somebody should get shot.
No kidding.
No, and the same day, find a gun.
And then they found more guns.
Yeah, found one at BC Rain. And I know the sheriff talked. We've gotten comment from everybody on this. The mayor, day of, Crystal Threadgill put out a statement day of. Even Eddie Tyler, the Baldwin County superintendent, putting out something. But the district attorney talked yesterday, and then the sheriff did. And sheriff mentioned the current process of putting deputies in there as SROs, and they're currently kind of rotating about 12 of them among schools, both high and middle schools.
Yeah, and they're feeder schools, right.
He's saying need to put more in there. The more deputies we have, the safer it'll be. Was it Ludgood? Senator Figures, who said that she's not sure that's necessarily the answer.
She wants to get to the root of the problem. We all do, right?
I'm
glad to hear that Senator Figures is speaking up about it, but it's been going on for a long time, and I don't, you know, it's not something that I hear her talk about a tremendous amount until now.
Yeah.
You know, that's been an issue that I've written about is, you know, I feel like a lot of the leadership in the community spends time on a lot of other issues that are not as, I mean, yeah, they're important. I'm not saying they're not important, but they are not as prevalent as constant shootings that are going on among young people in the city. And it's country, and you know it. I would think if I were a parent, bringing the sheriff's department. If a girl can walk in there, if the 15, 16 year olds are walking in with guns, then you know, I would say, okay, good, put a cop in every hallway. I mean, if that's what it takes, because this is just kind of out of control, and I still don't understand how kids that age are getting guns all the time, and we never really hear the answer to that. It's just sort of. It seems like it's far, far too easy for that to happen. And I mean, I know a lot of it is theft off the street. And, you know, people leave guns in cars all the time. They still do it. I don't know why people do it, but they do it all the time. All the gun owners out there, if you're leaving a gun in your car, you're just asking for somebody to break in and steal it.
It seems that the explanation that I've been given a few years ago was simply that the other person, your rival, more than likely has got a gun. So some way, somehow, you need to make sure you've got a gun. So it's the want to make it happen that in all that, through stealing and other ways, they think it is a necessity to have that gun on them. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it's the Old West, right?
Yep.
You know, you don't want to be the one guy walking out into the saloon without a pistol, I guess. But that's kind of where it is.
And I think
it's got to change. It's got to change.
And as school choice becomes a big discussion heading into the legislative session, if it passes, however form it passes in, that'll be another factor that I think is under discussed. You know, we talk about wanting our kids to learn at schools, learn, like actually have good learning. But I think safety will play a major role in people. If this education savings account thing goes through, if someone has their kids at a school where they're thinking they need self-protection like that, why wouldn't they move them on to another school that does have some sort of SRO or some other kind of protection?
Would they be welcomed at that school? Would they be welcomed with open arms at that school? Mm-hmm. Because there's a reason there's private schools out there. Maybe there's five reasons.
I mean, people don't expect that at the private school, and nobody should expect that at any school.
Right,
right.
It's, you know, it's just ridiculous that we're, I mean, that was not something that, you know, I'm an old guy now, so, you know, back in the day, you know, that was not something people thought about, going to school and having guns.
No.
Getting shot. That was not something that was really a thing. And it's kind of crazy to think kids are going to school worrying about being shot.
And this was different too, Robin. This wasn't your typical mass school shooting. You know, this was just that could have been
happened at a home.
Yeah, could have happened at home. Could have happened at a park. Could have happened anywhere. It happened at school. But when people think of school shootings, generally they think of the horrific ones that have happened in like Parkland, Florida, and things like that. This was just a gun incident involving a teen happened to be at school.
Mm-hmm.
So
Well, that's where it's gotten to the point where most of these things are related to trouble between people, you know, arguments between people, beefs, as we call them. You know, people are just shooting. I mean, these, you know, people shooting into folks' houses, inadvertently killing other people who are there, the children, the little girl that was on the couch sleeping, you know, all of that stuff is the the basis of it was an argument. Yeah, okay, well, you know, we're going to go buy so-and-so's house and shoot into the house because, you know, we don't like him or we're upset about this happening. And it's out of control. It really is. Well, it happened to just Wheeling somebody's yard. We used to do that, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, shooting on Cottage Hill, shooting on I-165.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's just, it has gotten to a point where it's outside the bounds of, you know, it used to be, well, okay, that happens in these neighborhoods, and if you stay out of that area, you're going to be okay. And now you're not really sure where it's going to happen.
I agree 100%.
Right. Rob, for folks that want to sign up online, like I am, like we all are here, for LagniappeMobile.com, how do they do that, and how do they pick up the new copy in stands with Philip Rivers' face on it?
So you can go to the beautiful purple boxes all over our community and pick a hard copy up. Of course, if you're interested in daily news that we're putting out, go to LagniappeMobile.com, get signed up. It is $1 for the first month, and it's $6.50 a month after that. Just $1.50 a week, folks, and it is it's news every day, and it really helps us keep the doors open and keep going. So help us out. Get subscribed. You'll find a lot of stuff that's not in the paper.
All right. Keep doing your thing, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
Rob Holbert with Lagniapp and LagniappeMobile.com, and coming back, we'll get through these texts, 251-343-0106, plus another pair of Senior Bowl tickets we'll be giving away on the other side of the break.
Oh, man, I'm going to have somebody else joining us at the Senior Bowl tomorrow.
That's right. Another pair of tickets we'll give away. Why not give it away right now?
Why not?
Pair of tickets, Senior Bowl, pair of VIP armbands for the Counting Crows concert in Mardi Gras Park downtown, 8:30 Saturday night. Caller number 5 gets this last pair of tickets for the Senior Bowl, noon kickoff on Saturday at Hancock Whitney Stadium. Caller number 5 at 251-343-0106. The tickets will be yours. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, if I can speak correctly this morning, State Senator Will Barfoot joins Jeff in hour number 1. State Representative Jamie Keel at 10:30. At 11, State Representative Susan Dubose. And at 11:30, one of my favorite guests of Jeff's, that's former State Senator Rusty Glover coming up. And plenty of legislative talk for them as well as we head into that session.
Everybody loves Rusty. From the text line, Dan says, typical mass school shooting, that should not even be a phrase. He talks about how he is he owns firearms, but our culture has descended beyond belief. Anyway, I couldn't agree more. I don't know how I exactly said that, talking about this shooting not being one of the typical mass shootings that you have at schools. The one at LaFleur was more of a beef between two people, basically, that could have happened anywhere. But you're right. It's a shame that typical mass school shooting would even be something that any of us would say, but I guess that's what I called it.
We were talking a bit about the horse situation in these Mardi Gras parades. Jerry in Fort Morgan said, y'all better be glad it was a men's organization instead of one of the women's organizations. When you talk about the size of a woman, you can get yourself in big trouble. There's no doubt about that. And I wonder how the whole story would have been handled if it had been a female on top of the horse.
Yeah, a polka dot.
His size didn't help his argument, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
But you're right, Jerry. One of the sexes you can't say that about, and the other you can. So.
It is 8:58, rolling toward 9 o'clock now. Again, Jeff Poor Show on the way next. Dan and Dalton back with you tomorrow, bright and early, beginning at 6 a.m.